Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shyam Metalics and Energy Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Harlalka from Head IR at Shyam Metalics. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good evening and warm welcome to all attending the conference call of Shyam Metalics and Energy Limited, which is for the fourth quarter year ending FY23 and for the full year ending FY23. We have on the call Mr. Brij Bhushan Agarwal, our Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Deepak Kumar Agarwal, Director of Finance and CFO of our company. Before we start the presentation Q&A, I just wanted to remind you that the discussions today will be covered under the safe harbor statement, which is in the second slide of our presentation. Hope you have had the time to read and go through the same. We now start the con call, and I would like to hand over this to our Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Brij Bhushan ji. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pankaj, and very good evening and warm welcome to everyone who is attending this call. The past year for us has been a year of adaptation and adaption. With the multiple challenges in the geopolitical crisis leading to the regime of high energy costs, nevertheless, continuous learning both at the management and the team level. Despite the same, we have been moving along well and achieving overall growth at our company on the back of continuous growth and expansion. We have been reaping the benefit of moving up in the value chain from the integrated steel chain business, improving sales mix. Revenue shares of pellet, sponge, billet have reduced from 63% plus in FY19 to 31% in FY23. This shows that we have been always value adding our product and trying to increase the realization and getting into a better market and price-wise. Going forward, this share will be further reduced to 25% over next two years. Our finished sale has improved from the contribution of 17% in FY19 to 48% in FY23 to our revenues. This will sustainably improve our company profitability. While the steel prices face headwind during the year, our company has maintained healthy cash generation. It has been a year of a brownfield expansion at our existing plant and also a year which opened a new avenue for us in the first year of the operation in the aluminum foil plant. Today, around 2 lakh ton of aluminum foil are imported in India. Our venture in this business is targeted towards import substitute. We are able to do a volume of around 11,400 tons approximately, and the average foil rolling has been in between 6 to 13 micron, making us a very extremely specialized and niche player in the niche industry and a complete different product. Our products are well accepted worldwide, and we are exporting more than 60,000 tons or 60% of our production, what we are doing today. The monthly run rate is now around 1,500 tons, and the realization is around 3.5 lakh rupees per ton. On the CRM plant, work is underway at a full swing in our subsidiary company, Shyam Flat Products Private Limited. The product is very extremely interesting as it is going to add more value in our supply chain management. As we all know that the long product dealers, distributors, where we have a very strong hold, we will be able to maintain the same supply chain management and will add lot of value in our new business as well as will give more sustainability in our existing business. This project is approved under the PLI scheme. Once the production is on stream, we shall add new products to our expanding distribution channel. Similarly, a separate team has started working on the Ram Swarup expansion, and we are confident of meeting all the target timeline as it has been showcased by our company in the past. The low-carbon ferrochrome facility is also ramping up and contributing further to the top-line growth during the last quarter, and we expect it to be completely stabilized in year FY24. Our Mittal acquisition will benefit from the backward integration of the existing business and will help us to capture a large part of the value chain in the stainless steel business. As we all know, the stainless steel, the major raw material and the ingredient is, you know, iron, power, ferrochrome, ferromanganese. And I am very proudly, you know, today I can share that, you know, more than 90% of the product mix in making stainless steel as an ingredient is going to be a backward and forward integration to our existing setup. We have also been working towards the long-term vision of the company, scouting for the good value assets in the terms of iron ore mines and coal block. We have been able to identify and get iron ore mines in Maharashtra, Sundargarh, which is spread over a 15-26 hectare and contains rich quality of iron in excess of 66 Fe content. We also would like to state that in generally in the Odisha iron ore mines the grade are very low and the fine generation is in the tune of around 70-75%, but the mines what we have been allocated has 70%, around 65-70% lumps and a very extreme Fe content. We have received a composite license as on now, which has more than 10 years to start the extraction for the same. We intend to use the exploration period before we decide the final usage of the material. But potentially, having consistent access to high quality resources can have invaluable synergy to our steel business. We will share more details once we have further clarity on the material availability and quality. The ongoing growth project and the recent acquisition are integrating well within our overall strategy of the efficient and low cost growth. The capex outlay for FY23 were around 1579 crores, and based on the existing plan, we emphasize the total capex of 1500 crores in FY24. With the expansion of our product portfolio, increase in the production capacity, we expect to fund most of the upcoming capex through the internal accruals and continue to retain one of the best credit rating in the metal sector. We remain committed to our philosophy of O2 Metal and vision to become a diversified metal company through a disciplined approach. Thank you. Thank you, Pankaj.
Thank you, sir. A very good evening to all. I will give a quick review of the reported consolidated financial for the quarter under review and for the year ended of the financial year 2022-23. On a consolidated basis, the company for the fourth quarter reported an operating revenue of rupees 3,380 crore. There is a growth of 18% over a quarter four of the financial year 2022. Like in the previous quarter, in quarter 4 too, we have been able to sell higher percentage of volume sale of finished steel at a higher realization, which has enabled the company to grow in terms of revenue and EBITDA over the previous quarter. As a result, our EBITDA for the fourth quarter on a consolidated basis was at rupees 413 crore, the growth of 86% over quarter 3 of the current financial year, and degrowth of 38% over the quarter 4 of the last financial year. Just to drive home the point, if we measure raw material cost to operating revenue ratio in percentage term, it has been decreased by 160 bps in quarter 4 of the current financial year over the previous quarter. We have reported a good EBITDA in quarter 4 of the current financial year in comparison to the previous quarter. In order to maintain this growth in EBITDA number, we have been judiciously and cautiously on all other cost components. For the quarter 4 of the current financial year on a consolidated basis, we reported an EBITDA margin of 12.2%, an increase of 460 basis over the previous quarter on the backing of also better realization across all product segments ranging from 3% to 18%. For the financial year 2023, we reported a total revenue of 12,610 crore and a growth of 21% over the last year. On the EBITDA front, our company reported an EBITDA of 1,486 crore against the 2,600 crore for the year ended for the last financial year, that is 21-22. There is a downside of 43%. As you all aware that the financial year 2022-23 is a totally a geopolitical crisis and the imposition of export duties on all our metal products. We have reported a net profit degrowth of 51% for the year over the previous year. We could achieve the above margin owing to the increase in our steel volume growth, prudent capital allocation policy, and buying key raw material at right time basis on our experience. We also focus on the improving the product mix, which led to improvement to the blended realizations and concurrently improving the operational efficiency by cost optimization and rationalization of efforts, which enable us to report a good and consistent set of operating profit and net profit. We have achieved a good improvement to our working capital days. For the financial year 2023, our working capital days is at 24 as against 43 days at the end of the financial year 2022. Similarly, we achieved a massive improvement to our capital efficiency during the first half, and the same trend is being perpetuated. Our return on capital equity and return on equity at the end of the financial year 2023 are at 15% and 14% respectively. The gross debt, which was at 0.09% at the end of the financial year 2022, is slightly higher at 0.18% at the end of the financial year 2022-23. Our net debt position is 448 crore as on 31st March 2023, and we have also been a long-term investment worth of rupees 910 crore, which has not been considered in arriving the net debt position. Moreover, an amount of rupees 201.1 crore is attributed to our joint venture partner in the case of Ramsurup Industry Limited. From the cash flow statement, you can make out for the financial year 2023, we incurred a capital expenditure of 1,579 crore as against 940 crore in the financial year 2022. In addition, we incurred 379 crore for the acquisition of Ramsurup Industries Limited from the net cash flow operating activities of rupees 1,507 crore during the financial year 2022-23. We are mostly spent on the capex undertaking at our company. I am glad to share that the financial risk profile of the company is very, very strong, and our strategy has always been to incur the capital expenditure in a smaller doses in a peaceful manner to ensure that the balance sheet is never stressed. At all points of time, we closely monitor the liquidity, solvency, and capital efficiency ratio. I would like to assure you that the company sustains a healthy financial risk profile despite pursuing the sizable capital expenditure plans. Out of the rupees 3,950 crores of capex announced during the IPO and further capex in the March 2022, we have already cumulative incurred 3,007 crore up to the financial year 2022-23 and capitalized is 1,574 crore worth of assets. We have completed almost 75% of our total said capex. The remaining 955 crore shall be expended over a period of next 2 years, and the majority being completed in this financial year. We spent rupees 1,579 crore on the capex this year, and for the next capex additional spend will be between 1,300 to 1,500 crores of rupees. On the announced plant for Ramshirup industry, we have incurred a capex of 77 crore till March 22-23, out of which 60% of the capex in our account is 46.20 funded by us and the rest by the non-controlling joint venture partner. At our CRM plant, we have incurred a capex of 53 crore. We also expect an outgo of 351 crore approximately towards the completion of our acquisition of Mittal Corp during the financial year 2023-24. Added by the internal cash generation and sufficient liquidity surplus, which will ensure we take only limited debt in the event of any fund flow mismatch. I would like to assure you that the bank limit utilization at the consolidated level is expected to be remain moderate going forward too. Annual cash accrual should suffice for the capital expenditure requirement and debt repayment. For many years, we have been following a prudent capital allocation policy by which 70% of the capital generation, cash generation is invested back into the business, 20% is retained to maintain our liquidity surplus, and 10% is retained to the shareholders as a dividend. On the back of good operating and financial performance, with a strong net cash flow from operating activity of the company, yesterday in its board meeting declared an interim dividend of ₹1.8 per share, amounting to an outgo of 46 crore. I am also happy to announce that we have also implemented the SML ESOP and ESCF scheme to be approved at the AGM of the company for the shares and options of 13,35,765 equity share to be taken from the existing promoter share, which comes to around 0.5% of the issued share of the company. This will go a long way to create a wealth for our partners and retain the great talent pool available in our company. Now I conclude my portion of update and throw the floor open for the question and answer session. Thank you everyone.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take our first question from the line of Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers and the turnaround performance, as well as taking the initiative of putting operating numbers every month on BSE. That's very helpful for us for tracking the company. The two questions I have is, the first one is essentially on the number of aspects that we are working on, including Mittal Corp acquisition, Mittal Corp integration, and the ramp up of low carbon ferrochrome projects. Along with, we expect that, you know, this year by June, the steel capacity should also come up. So what kind of revenue growth shall we expect in FY24? And what is the target level of EBITDA margin that we should pencil in? That is the first question.
See, low carbon ferrochrome is extremely niche product, like, you know, where it's completely EOU business, and it is a very high tech from the terms of the technologies and the process side. Since we have commissioned first furnace in LCFC, we have stabilized now almost 80-85%, and with the expectation we are able to now gain the desired result. Now from the prospect of revenue side, I can say that, you know, if we are doing say around 5,000 tons a month, today around 100 crores revenue we can generate additional from the LCFE. Simultaneously, it's a very high value added product, like it's almost, you know, 30 to 40% more. I would say it's almost double, more than double the value of the ferrochrome. this business generally enjoys an EBITDA of around 20-25%, the product side. So this is going to add a very good value. And also, the beauty of this product is, you know, it is a forward integration of our ferrochrome. So we don't have to buy the raw material. So if you talk in the terms of carryover of the inventory, cost and all, it is hardly negligible. And your number two about your Mittal Corp, see, this is a Danelli mill. It's an Italian plant, one of the top of the line in the country. It is right now doing some conversion of Kalyani, Baba Kalyani in the defense, you know, they are doing some product rolling in Mittal Corp as well. So this stainless steel overall from next year is going to generate a revenue of around 1700 to 1800 crores. This year might be, you know, we will be doing say around 400 crores to 500 crores because it is a plant where we have to do lot of modifications. Since this was under the NCLT, lot of wear and tear has been observed, and with today's time we are upgrading the technology, which is not a very major issue. But this plant is going to come in full stream by next year. The beauty of the Mittal Corp is they have a stainless steel TMT facilities, and you know, TMT is our product. Why we choose Mittal Corp? First of all, you know, we are adding more value in getting into the stainless steel and stainless steel TMT. If you see from the TMT side, none of the company in the country today is doing TMT. Sunflag has tried, but they are not very perennial. They have a lot of quality issues. And today NHI and a lot of government, other organization who are doing coastal projects, they have notified to use TMT, and they are getting it regulated in the system because now they know the plant is in full swing. They will be able to get it. And with our, technical presentation, we have been given a comfort from their end, like whatever this policy, they were not very stringent, is going to be very strong in the time to come. Apart from that, if you see the stainless steel, what we will be doing in Mittal Corp is majorly of 200 series. Why? Because first of all, 200 series doesn't attract any nickel percentage. Number two, whatever ferrochrome, ferromanganese, iron and power is required is going to be consumed from our existing plant. So it's almost like going backward integration. So this is a very great synergy as adding a new product, getting into more value-added product, getting into more supply chain business, and it doesn't really, you know, we are in the wire rod, we are in the long product business. We have a customer who consumes stainless steel wire rod and carbon steel both. So we are making our strength in the terms of the product basket and also increasing the numbers, bottom line, as well as doing a great risk management from the product mix side. Thank you.
And for the elaborate answer, the second question is essentially on iron ore mine that we have acquired, you know, with the promoter company. Now, while I understand from your opening remarks that the Fe content is really very attractive, but first of all, what are the timelines for starting this mine, and what is the strategy going forward? How, whether you will transport the ore all the way to your plants in Odisha and Bengal, or you will sell it over here and do that kind of logistic hedge?
See, first of all, this is a very interesting question, and we are ourselves, you know, contemplating a lot on this question. So, but whatever we have right now, we are working on, I'm just sharing you my thought process. See, iron ore is a very rare resource, and most of the mines in the country right now is below 60%. So getting a mine of 66-67% is a great achievement from the company side. Number two, it doesn't have a challenge of a land acquisition because the complete land is under the forest, and with the government policy of converting the forest land into a normal mining land is not a problem. Had this been a individual aggregators, it would have been really difficult to start the mines. this mine has a very high grade ore, and if you are able to use this kind of a grade of ore, your coke consumption, your carbon consumption, the CO2 emission, you know, when we are talking of the product quality, everything changed drastically. We have now 10 years, like the concern what we have got has a deadline of 10 years. So we are not in hurry. We have done an initial survey. One of the mines is already operating, enjoying the common boundary. So the material is very well good, well established. The resource is very beautiful. There is no doubt. We have a railway siding 80 kilometers, you know, down from that mine. So we can transfer the lumps to a railway and can transport to our Odisha plant. And since we have such a high grade ore and with the lumps quality, you know, it's not a fine. Generally, you know, getting 70%, 65% fine from the mine is something which is very, very rare. So it is going to add a lot of value. But, you know, we are still under the due diligence stage. Lot of homework we have to do once we go into a detailed exploration, risk analysis, total business plan. So we are not in hurry. And it is not going to consume a big capex from the company side. So it's a very nominal entry on the allocation side has been committed. And maybe some little bit more we have to spend in next 1 year on the exploration. So we will not be able to take any call on our concrete plan till we do a complete due diligence, exploration, strategy working, and then we will be able to share it. But yes, it's not a kind of any kind of a risk we are going to carry over, and whatever call we are going to take is going to be something, you know, a good value for the company side. Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Ashutosh Somani from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, the revenue profile that you mentioned for Mittal Corp, what is the capacity utilization that you are foreseeing in FY24-25? And what is the margin profile one should be looking at for this business in 24 and 25? That's my first question. The second question is whether what's the size of the gross block here and whether we have assumed any debt for Mittal Corp, and what are the working capital requirements here?
Hi, Ashutosh.
Yeah.
See, the capacity of this plant is presently around 1,80,000 to 2,00,000 tons per annum. But we can easily make up to 2.5 lakh ton with our technical study. But I would not like to go all out on the commitment side. We presume that in the coming year, we will be doing around 1.5 lakh ton of stainless steel. And when we are talking from the margin side, you know, today, it has a great product mix, like, you know, we are putting a downstream, you know, the wire annealing plant, and which is going to be commissioned by end of this year. So it will have a different product mix, like, you know, we are expecting that 50 to 60,000 tons will be able to do a stainless steel TMT, which is extremely niche. It generally generates an EBITDA of around 15 to 20,000 tons in today's time. And in the time to come, with our general, you know, if I'm very, you know, prudent on the numbers, I think we should be able to do a EBITDA of around 150 crores average from next year onwards.
Sure. And so on the balance sheet side, if you have assumed any debt or...
No. Deepak, can you just share on the balance sheet side and all if you have any?
Yes, we are. As far as acquisition cost is concerned, we will be incurring around 351 crore. That will be through our internal accrual. And if the working capital requirement is between 150 crore to 200 crore for this financial year, that will be from the bank.
But majorly we are going to contribute, you know, in the time to come, we are going to integrate our downward. So overall, it is not going to have a mass working capital requirement, you know. The ferroalloy inventory management, what we are carrying over, has to be converted into a stainless steel. But yes, we will be having a free margin of around 150 crores in the business.
Sure. And sir, if I can squeeze in another question on the iron ore plan, what is the mining plan for the year? How much are we looking at in terms of tonnage for fiscal 24-25?
No. No. There is no any target for 24-25 because we just have got a LOI. These kind of a mines are virgin mines, which will take its own course of time. You know, maybe once we do a complete thorough due diligence, or we'll be able to not share. But we have enough time, 10 years we have to start the mines. So maybe around 8 to 9 months we'll take to, you know, do the survey, you know, satellite survey and lot of, so it takes its own time. Maybe, you know, end of, you know, next, this year quarter, we'll be able to discuss about the iron ore final plans.
Sure, understood the stage of plan. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thank you,
sir. Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Arijit Datta from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Good set of results. Congratulations for that. Sir, I have three questions. Starting with the iron ore block. It is of 126% premium. Initially, we thought that we will not participate in the mining option because the premiums are crazy. Why we have undergone to such extent of 126% premium? Because it will be, even if the grade is higher, it will be on the higher grade only, the premium that we have to pay.
As usual, you always play a googly, Arish. See, I tell you, this is a very high-grade mine. 66-67% lumps. Your mining cost is very less, number one. Number two, your overburden is hardly anything. And when you are carrying over 66-67% lumps to your plant, the strategy completely changes. If I'm talking, this mine is 66-67% at the value of 125% approximately. You have to say in the general auction, you know, it would not be more than 80-90% with the carryover of the quality, with the carryover of the lump, with the carry of the mining cost. But still, I totally appreciate. We will do a detailed working. We have just got an LOI. The risk carryover is hardly negligible. We will have our complete mining plan, totally, thoroughly due diligence by the best of Big Fours. We will definitely like to evaluate and take an next course of action. But this mine is very special, extremely special in the terms of quality. Land challenges are not there. The government wants to develop this mine. It is in Maharashtra. The governance is very good. And the alumina silica content is also very low. So overall, the impact of this material down the plant furnace is going to be something extremely on the better side. But yes, till we don't go in 1000% detail, we will not be going ahead in full go. We need to do a due diligence and then we will take a final call. Thank you.
Done, sir. Sir, if I remember in 2021, we have sold some subsidiaries because we want to clean our books. Hardly any promoter entity overlap you wanted in the company. Then why a 49% stake we bought through a company where the promoter has 49% stake? Why again the complications?
About the mines?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Deepak will be able to share. Deepak, can you just share?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Mr. Arijit, as you know, the government has come up with, on a regular basis, mining auctions. What we do, we are participating on a regular basis for applications of mines, which require more of network requirement, and which is easily available from our promoting NBS's company. Once the risk analysis is completely done and evaluated by our risk management team, once the bid is in our favor, we shall ensure to bring all right to the operating company. This is basically only to maintain secrecy in participation
as a part of our business strategy. There is no such intention to have any related party transaction.
Because, you know, most of the mining bid, what we do, we create a subsidiary and we don't want to disclose the identity of our organization, because once you disclose, you see a different competition jumping into this. And all these mining due diligence and all, we are very, you know, secretly and very, very closely we are monitoring it. So this is the reason, and you know, once we are getting anything, we have disclosed in the stock exchange. We can't share anything in the past that we have got and we have not declared. So this also clarifies the, you know, the clarity and the intention of the company. You know, why we are doing this, and once there is any development, we have informed the stock exchange.
Well, all these things could have been done in a wholly owned subsidiary also.
That also has been tracked, no, because the people who are doing the mining, who are applying for the mines and all, they also track the, you know, the shareholder list, they also track, they go into much of detail. See, there are too many of issues. So, once you are doing the mining option, participating, lot of strategy, you know, you have to follow. So, it is a part of a strategy. It but only if you assure that we put everything in the system, it is done.
Okay, now we got the mine, anything that we would like to go so that it will be in under wholly owned subsidiary kind of thing?
No, not at all. We have not got any mines, and if there is any development in the time to come, in the interest of the shareholders, in the interest of the good corporate discipline, it will be, you know, very well, it will be stated and declared in the CB and with our investors.
Understood. So my second question is on the cash flow. So there is a 380 crore outflow that is there in the cash flow. It's written that acquisition of subsidiary. If you can clarify which subsidiary and what is its nature.
Yeah, Mr. Harijit, the cash outflow for acquisition of subsidiary means it is the money in deployment in our subsidiary Ramsurup Industrial Limited.
Okay, so the Ramsurup payment has been, so Ramsurup we are addressing as a subsidiary, it's not acquisition of an asset.
Yeah, total the acquisition cost of Ramsurup is 380 crores.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we are incurring a acquisition cost of Ramsurup is 378.99 crores, which is 100% of our acquisition cost. Once, if you see in the cash outflow for financing activity, there is a non-current borrowing of 200 crore from our joint venture partner. Then our contribution is approximately 240 crore. If you see in the cash flow statement, in the down, in the below line, cash flow from financing activity, there is a proceed from non-current borrowing of rupees 205.96 crore. Which has come up from the joint venture partner. When you're netting this 200 crore from this acquisition cost, our contribution is approximately 200 crore something.
Very clear. Very clear. Yeah. Also, in the balance sheet, there is a minority share. The minority share balance has zoomed to almost like 386 crore versus 4 crores last year. Even if you look at the P&L, there is a negative loss of 9 crores that is going to minority. So if you can reconcile how 4 crores becoming 386 crores in the minority account.
If you see, we are consolidating our total asset block of Ramsurup in our Shyam Steel as 100%. And we are showing the 40% of a non-controlling interest as a non-controlling minority share of around 386 crore something. You are asking why this has been reduced from 400 to 386 crore, right? 4 crores to 386 crore, right?
Yes, sir.
This is only because of the differences of, this is equivalent to 40% of the joint venture partner. This is basically.
40% will be of 40% of 380, right, sir?
No, not only 40% of 380 crore is not 40% of 380 crore. We are consolidating the existing asset block of Ramsurup in our operating company, which
which is around 1,000 crore to 1,100 crore.
Okay.
And out of this 1,100 crore, the 40% is contributing approximately 400 crore.
Okay, understood. And Ramaswarup capex guidance of 750 crores is still there, or there is any change to it?
No, this is still there, and we have already incurred 77 crore till 31st March 2023.
Understood. That's all from my side, sir. All the best, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Prithul Jiten Bhai Shah from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats of great set of numbers. My question is with respect to the volume. So this year we have around 5% YOY volume growth for full year, and our long product volume has grown by 41%. So just wanted to have the idea that what guidance you want to give for next year with respect to total volume and the volume of long products.
Yeah, as far as sales volume is concerned, this year on a Y-on basis from 2022-23, our total sales value is 2 million ton, and we are expecting that the long steel product, with comprising of long product, billets and spawns, we are targeting to sell 2.4 million ton for the current financial, that is 23-24.
Sir, can you repeat 2.4 million ton for?
2.4 million ton of our total steel sale volume. And when we talk about the 2.4 million ton, we are targeting 1.5 million ton of long product, and rest will be steel billet and sponge iron.
So approximately we are targeting 15% growth, yeah?
Yeah.
More or less. 15 to 17%.
Okay. 17% growth in total volume.
Hello. Mr. Prithul, your voice is breaking up, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
I'm just asking that 50 to 15% growth is on the total volume, including the select and long product call. Console 50 to 70% growth, we are saying. Full volume.
Yeah, majorly it will be the long product.
Okay. So, like, say, total volume can grow at 15%, but long product can even grow at 20%+.
We expect that it should be around 15 to 17% this year.
Okay, got it. And, sir, one question with respect to tax rate. So, in this quarter, the tax rate has been lower. So, what's the reason for that?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Shah. Your voice is breaking up, sir.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is with respect to tax rate in Q4. So, what was the reason for this lower tax in this quarter?
As far as tax provisioning is concerned in the fourth quarter, why it is so low? Because we are anticipating in the first quarter of the last financial year that we will be getting more profit, and we are provisioning our tax provision in the first three quarters on an old regime basis, new regime basis. But after completion of our fourth quarter, we feel that we will not be converting our tax regime from old to new regime. We will be stay with the old regime. That's why the adjustment of last three quarters in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so we have in the old regime, and for 2024 also, we are guiding for around 30% tax rate.
Not 34%. For the current financial year, definitely it all depends on possibility. We have an option whether we will continue with the old regime or we will choose for a new regime.
Okay, so what would be the tax guidance for FY24?
It will be in between 27% to 30%.
Okay, and sir, wanted to know the current realization of the
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, wanted to know the current realization of the products from pellets, sponge and billets, long products.
Similar. Whatever the current realization in the case, approximately 9,000 rupees per ton. Sponge iron is in between 27,000 rupees per ton. Billets realizations currently is going on 43,500 to 44,000. Finished steel realization is in between 52,500 to 53,000. And ferro realization is 90,000 to 92,000 rupees.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Raj Oja, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. So my first question is about the aluminum business. It is good to see the aluminum plant getting operationalized in a record time. So what are your plans to scale up the aluminum business?
See, at present, we have just stabilized the plant. There is a good demand. Right now, we are operating at around 55-60%. We have to bring it to 90% because the complete plant is now steel line, all the R&Ds, whatever development activity has to be done. So we are trying to develop new product within the existing plant only. We are trying to put up a lubricating line which again generates a good income and a good product base in the aluminium space. And presently, you know, we are working right now, but not very concretely, I'll be able to spell everything now till we are able to operate this at 90%. And once we are done, then we will discuss about the expansion of the new aluminium business.
Sure, sure. Also in FY23, our tonnage was around 11,300 metric tons. So, like, can you give some information about the tonnage in FY24? What can we expect in FY24?
We are expecting somewhere around close to 17 to 18,000 tons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mulesh Savla from Shah and Savla. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good evening and thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you a little more detail on our plant under PLI scheme? I mean, what is the incremental turnover required? How many years we are going to get the incentive? And what is the total expected incentive out of that plant?
Around 2 to 2,500 rupees is overall commercial value. I'll not be able to spell out very, you know, elaborately because I just know the overall ballpark number. So this advantage we are going to get for almost 5 years.
Okay.
And like in the terms of value, if you ask, we should be able to generate more than 20 to 25 crore additional bonus in the terms of PLI benefit every year. So it should accumulate around 100 crores.
Okay. So in all above 100 crore we can expect from this plant by way of PLI scheme incentive.
Yeah. Very correct.
Okay. And related to sir's answer to the aluminium plant, you said you are expected to do about 70 to 80,000 tons of aluminum in FY24? Have I heard correctly?
No. 17,000 to 80,000.
70,000 to 80,000?
17 to 18,000.
Yeah. Okay. No, but we have total capacity of about 40,000 tons, and you said that we are operating at about 55-60%, and we are likely to reach to 90%. Then we should be able to reach cross at least 20,000 per ton, 20,000 ton per year.
No, it all depends upon the micron.
We are making a very thinner gauge.
Uh-huh.
Generally, 40,000 ton capacity is on the average micron size of around 18 to 20 micron.
Okay.
Our average is 6 to 9 micron, which fetches more than 40 to 50,000 rupees per ton EBITDA.
Okay.
And this is a very specialized product. On the return on per hour basis, on the tonnage side, this multiply 1.4 times on the other side.
Okay.
This is the area where we are focusing to increase our EBITDA and to get into a deeper and higher product margin.
Okay. Most of that is exported or it is consumed locally?
Export. More than 60% is export.
Okay. And is there any difference in the realization in export against the local sell?
No, export is much better realization. Our more than 80% of the export is in USA.
Okay.
This is a very specialized product where we have obtained an FDA approval.
Mm-hmm.
It is being used by a company who are making explosive and they require foils.
Okay.
So it is a very high value added business what we have been able to develop.
Great.
This is the reason why our margins are good, and it is extremely very different quality in the terms of general material, because there is a lot of things from the quality side, pinhole quality, the sustainability quality, the tangibility of this. So we have been able to achieve every parameter. So our focus is going to be majorly in the export in the time to come. So maybe,
sir, looking at these high value accretive products and backward and forward integration, can we expect our margins to come back to our FY22 level, or you feel still there is a time to reach to 22 level? We had a margin of about 25% in FY22, blended EBITDA margin.
We are following the industrial standard. If you see, if there is a correction in the finished price, the raw material price, it affects JSW, it affects Tata Steel, also it affects us also. It will not be wise for us to state that we'll be able to generate 24 or 25, but we have to follow the market trend and the market scenario on the pricing side. But
so looking at the current market trend and the competitive landscape, what do you feel is the achievable level?
Very difficult, this is a question which is very difficult at this point of time, because we are, all the products, raw material is highly volatile. And today at the geopolitical crisis where we are all suffering, it will not be wise. So I would rather, maybe after second quarter we'll be able to visualize more better.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay. I thought that if you have any aspirational numbers with you, or you must have some internal targets. So I just wanted to have some color on that.
My target is not be appropriate for me to discuss in this forum. We have always worked on the higher targets.
Right.
But when we are talking in this forum, we have to be very prudent.
Correct.
And very disciplined on our values. I believe in this.
I appreciate. Thank you so much. And sir, one small clarification. We have to reach to about 75% of promoter holding. So any plan on dilution to the equity in the near future?
Yeah, the team is working. We have time. We have now more than a year.
Okay.
And we are working, and we'll, once we are done with the final strategy, we'll share every detail.
All right, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the very best.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Nirvana Laha, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. If I did not hear wrong, I think you said that you have 10 years to operationalize the iron ore mine. So is it 10 years for the lease duration, 10 years for you to start operating?
So we have got the 10 years, like, you know, once they have given the consent, within 10 years we have to start the operation.
Okay. And does the date also
come? The lease license is more than 50 years. I don't think there's any concern on this.
Okay, 50 years. And is there a theoretical capacity of iron ore from the mine that you're aware of, that you know of?
It has been estimated around 300 million tons, but, you know, still we have to do a lot of research and evaluate. So it's, the tentative number should be around 250 to 300 million tons.
Got it. And a few questions on the accounting side. So the Q4 depreciation was lower than the Q3 depreciation. I'm just curious, with assets coming online, how that happened.
As far as, because in the Q3, there are lots of projects have been commissioned in the quarter three, but in the quarter four, none of the plant has been commissioned in the quarter four.
Yes, sir, but depreciation should not, I mean, not increasing is fine, but decreasing is a little, I couldn't understand how it decreased from 132 crores to 126 crores.
Only because of the written down value. Now, depreciation as in the fourth quarter will be written down value from the third quarter. Okay. And the most of the plant has been commissioned in the second quarter and third quarter.
Got it. So the fixed asset addition that happened in H2 was only around 300 crores. That's what I can see. So I think in this quarter, in Q1, there will be a large fixed asset addition. Are you in a position to tell how much will get added in Q1?
In the first quarter of the current financial year, most of the asset will be commissioned.
Okay, and any number that you can tell right now?
That is 1.2 million ton of asset is approximately 250 crores. And 90 megawatt of captive power plant is also commissioned. So in the first quarter, it will be capitalized approximately 500.
Okay. Final question from my side. So the cash flow statement, if I look at the half yearly number, the plant PPE investment there was around 2,130 crores. And for the full year, that number is showing up as 1,579 crores. So it appears that purchase of PPE number has dropped over the from half year to full year. So could you explain this?
Sir, I have to check in the half year number. I don't know right now. And definitely share why it has been spent.
Because the half year number purchase of PPE is 2,130 crores. And the same number for the full year is 1,579 crores.
I have to check, then I can definitely share you. Just share your number in the chat box, according to we will share you.
Okay, I don't have access to the chat. I will drop an email.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks everyone. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisors to Shyam Metalics. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Orient Capital and Shyam Metalics, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.